Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
All right, this morning, the belt of truth. Now we're getting into the armor. Excited? It's been all this build-up to the most important part, which is the armor of God. Now, we learn that we can stand. He says, stand therefore, and we can stand. Why can we stand? Because we have his what? Anybody know? What's the answer? We can stand because there's two things I said over and over again the past 3 weeks. We can stand because we have his, begins with an M. Thank you. Praise the Lord. We have his might, and we have, begins with a P, plan. Thank you. We have his might and we have his plan. Therefore, we can stand because it tells us. Stand therefore. Now, God didn't tell us to stand if he didn't expect us to stand. And then we learned about the strategies, the wiles, the schemes of the devil. There's three things that he does. He causes us to what? Number one, doubt. He causes us to doubt. Has God really said? Did he really mean what he said? And then the second thing he does, he minimizes the consequences. He wants you to think, you'll not die. You're not going to die. And then the third thing that he does, he wants to change our identity. I see you guys are smarter than you look this morning. Good, amen. He wants to change our identity. He wants us to identify with something else than with who he is. Ephesians chapter 1, we're in Christ, we're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're chosen, we're from the foundation of the world. And it talks about who we are in Jesus, and the world wants us to identify with something else. And so those are the three ways, the three tactics that he uses. And last week we talked about we don't fight against people. And we looked at some of the terrible tragedies that have happened, and we learned that we don't fight against people, but the principalities, powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, that what is happening today in the world, in our country, is a result of us not... The further we get away from God, Romans chapter 1 says God gave them up. They refused to acknowledge God. They refused to worship God. God gave them up to the desires of their own ways. We're seeing that happen. Because Satan is a what? He is a liar, and he wants to kill. He wants to murder. That's what he's doing. He's trying to murder. Now, when we come to, remember Ephesus, it's a pagan city. It's any different than today. And so when Paul called the Ephesians to enter the spiritual battle, it's not something that we can't do. It's not like all of a sudden we talk about how this world is so evil and so bad. But it's always been bad. Temptations are the same. Nothing's changed. And so we don't have to fear spiritual battle. We can win spiritual battle. Verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. That's a question. He says here, having done all, to stand. Now, let's ask ourselves a question. Are we really doing our all to stand? Sometimes we fail and we blame circumstances, but are we doing everything we can to stand firm? Our attitude needs to be, we're going to stand with God. We're going to stand with his word no matter what happens. This word to stand literally means to support oneself on his feet, to erect in a straight position. It means to maintain a specific position or posture. It's digging in. We're digging in and we're not moving. We're standing against the wiles of the devil. We're standing against these temptations. We're standing against everything that's against us, and we're going to stand. In 1897 is one of the most famous battles of people standing. There were 21 sheikhs, British soldiers in the Indian Army, that stood up to 10,000 Afghans. And this was, they were in the Valley province in a small city, and they, for a certain amount of time, these 21 soldiers, think about these 21 soldiers took a stand. And as this horde of Afghans came, they stood and they held their ground. This caused the British Parliament to give a standing ovation. And there's a plaque for these 21 soldiers. They all gave their lives, but they were able to hold off this army until reinforcements came. You know why we're suffering today? Or let me say it this way, why the forces of evil have taken control in so many areas? Because we haven't stood. It's easier to run. I don't know about you, but if I was with my army of 21 and 10,000 Afghans were coming, I'd consider running. Very scary. These men were brave, and they believed in what they were doing. They had the courage to stand up and fight off as many of the opposing forces as they could. This is the mentality we have to have if we're going to stand. We have to stand. They were willing to stand no matter what. And Paul says if we have the armor of God, we need to stand. Stand firm in the evil day. It is time to stand. Now, notice verse 14. Therefore, stand therefore. He's going to give us the armor, okay? Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The NET Bible says this, stand firm therefore by fastening the belt of truth around your waist. So the first piece of armor is a belt. That's interesting. Now, you've seen some of those military belts. They have all kinds of pockets and gadgets and all kinds of stuff. Or maybe Batman's belt, he can get all that stuff. The belt in Roman times was very different than what we imagine as a belt. But the one thing it did, it when you girded the belt, you connected all of your garments. It held the sword, and it kind of connected everything. And that's why this belt is so important, because we gird up this belt. It's the foundation of our armor. The truth. Think about that. The truth is our foundation. And this idea to gird up, to arm ourselves, if you will. There's a few other verses where this term is used. 1 Samuel 2:14. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Hannah's singing this psalm, and she's talking about when we're humble, but God girds us up. He arms us. He gathers us with strength. Psalm 18:32, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. I guess maybe this is a poor illustration, but I'm trying to get in our minds, because we don't think of Roman soldiers today, but think of it this way. God gives us the bullets, if you will. He arms us. He gives us what we need. And he says, it is God who girds me up. It is God who gives me the strength. It is God that surrounds me and puts me on my feet. Or we could say, the only way we can stand is if we're armed with God's power. And then Psalm 30, verse 11 says this, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me, armed me, girded me with gladness. This is what God does. Satan is a liar. He wants us to be depressed. He wants us to be angry. He wants us to be discouraged. When we come to the Word of God, what does it do? It gathers us up. It arms us with His truth, that He loves us, that He's powerful, that He's with us, that He's not forsaken us, that He's present. Satan wants us to be negative. He wants us to think of the failures in our lives and not His strength. He wants to reestablish us in the truth of God. So the belt of truth, first of all, truth is our foundation, not feelings. Truth is our foundation, not feelings. When we talk about the belt, we talk about the truth of God. We're not talking about fairy tales, allegory. We're not talking about some good advice, some nice suggestions. We're not talking about religious ideas. We're not talking about religious traditions. We're talking about the word truth. T-R-U-T-H. Truth. And Satan wants us to base our decisions in life on our feelings and our emotions. And it's gotten so bad in our society that a lot of times you can't even sit down and debate the truth anymore. There was a time in our country where you could have good discussions about the truth and debate the truth. Now it's so much is based on, it feels right to me. I think it's right. If it feels so good, how can it be wrong? God's truth needs to keep our feelings in check. See, that's the problem. We're either guided by feelings and emotions, or we're guided by truth. If you're guided by feelings and emotions, you're going to be depressed and confused because they change all the time. If you're guided by the truth, you have the belt of truth, you interpret your feelings and emotions through the truth, and the truth brings you back. Brings you back. Psalm 119, 160, right here. The entirety of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Endures forever. God's truth about life, about humanity, about salvation, about our happiness, about our peace, about how we're to live, hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. Back to Genesis, and last week we went back to Genesis. Nothing has changed in the psychology of man, in his inner being, in his soul. It hasn't changed. And the truth has to bring us back. Remember, Satan is a liar. He wants us to believe. He wants us to doubt. He wants to persuade us. And as we talked about last week, the plans of the world, the principalities. There's so much today that people believe without even thinking. You'll ask people, I believe this, and you'll say, why? Because it is. It's true. Well, why do you know it's true? Well, we know why it's true when we go to the Word. And so our foundation This belt of truth is what it keeps us steady. It keeps us standing up. It keeps us to know where we're going and not to be overcome by our emotions and feelings. And then secondly, the church is the keeper of the truth. The church is the keeper of the truth. In other words, one of the main goals of the church is not just to influence society, to have activities, to feed the poor. The main goals of the truth is to preach and keep the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15 says this, "If I delay, you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the household of God, which is the church of what? The living God, a pillar and buttress of what? The truth." The truth. He's talking about there the truth about Jesus, the truth about the gospel, truth about the Bible. What unifies us this morning in this church, in any church, is that we are believers in Jesus. We may not all like the Celtics. We might not like blue pews. Some of us, in the church, we should embrace our differences, but we should never think unity is by compromising the truth of the gospel. That's what unifies us, the gospel. Jesus was not, he was not somebody that just accepted everything. It is important what a church believes. And as you go throughout New England, you see all these big church buildings and they're empty or there's few people. And many will say, well, that's because because we haven't changed. We haven't gotten with the times. No, probably it's more likely churches decline when they depart from the truth of the gospel. Paul said to Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed. What does it say? Rightly handling the word of, what does it say? Truth. Handling the word of truth. If we don't believe this is the truth of God, we have nothing. We have nothing without the truth of God. Jesus, he said the way is broad. Yes, no? Good, I'm glad you caught that. I was looking at Tamika, she's ready to say yes. She said, wait a minute. He said, narrow is the way. Gate is small. It's funny today how people will assign to Jesus what is absolutely wrong and not true about Jesus. Jesus said this, John 4:23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and what? Truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Does it matter what we believe? People say, I think one of the most, an often overused concept is just have faith. But what do you have faith in? That's really important. My faith is in Jesus. My faith is in the gospel. My faith is in the resurrection. My faith is in the second coming. My faith is not in the church per se, but in Jesus, in the true church. And so Jesus says he's seeking worshipers. Now, we're good with the emotional spirit part, but that's even misunderstood because it doesn't say emotions. It says the spirit of God. Spirit of God brings unity. It brings us to the Spirit of God testifies about who? You said it. Jesus. How do you know, as you have on the TV, these guys that prophesize, okay? Or they have a new revelation. Well, if they say something that Jesus didn't say or said something different than what Jesus said, or if it glorifies them, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. The Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus and glorifies Jesus, not himself. And so Jesus said it's the truth. And then John says this. And if you read 1 John this week, he talks about the truth over 9 times in that chapter. So 2 John 1:1, the elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in what? Truth. And not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. Truth. He says later on, I have no greater joy than my children walk in the truth. So the belt of truth. This is the underlying piece of the armor. This is the piece of the armor that brings it all together. There was a naval soldier who related this story about two battleships, and they were on maneuvers, and the weather got heavy. Several days they couldn't see. And as he's on the bridge with the captain, the visibility is very poor. They can't see. And they find on the radar, there's another light. There's something in the distance. And it's not moving. It's coming right at him. And the captain says, signal to them to move 20 degrees. And the signal came back, I think you need to move 20 degrees. Then the captain said, this is captain. I want you to move 20 degrees. And the guy comes back. Well, I'm a private, and I say, you need to move 20 degrees. And as they're getting closer and closer, the captain's getting angry. He says, we're a battleship. You need to move, and I'm a captain. The signal came back. I'm a lighthouse. So the captain moved. The truth should cause us to move. The truth should cause us to change our course. The truth isn't going to affirm what we have preconceived or what we falsely believed. The truth should change our course. It should bring us closer to God. It should make us move from our position. The truth, we're trying to do this in our society. The truth's not going to move. Not going anywhere. It's like that lighthouse. It's not changing its course 20 degrees. Listen, the truth can give us hope. The truth can lift us out of depression. The truth really begins with who Jesus is. The truth is manifested in a person, Jesus. John 14:6. Who knows that verse? Anybody know that verse? You know it. You're scared to say it because of the reference. But what does John 14:6 say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. When Jesus talked to Pilate, what did they discuss? The truth. I said, what is truth? He said, you'll see if my sayings are false. By the way, what we need to do as a church is proclaim the truth. The truth will defend itself. Nobody will ever win against the truth. We can have confidence, and that's what the belt of truth gives us, confidence, because as much as the attacks come, the truth is the same. It's not changing. It's not going anywhere. The truth is remaining firm. And the truth about Jesus, and we know, 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may what? Know him who is what? True. And we are in him who is true. His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true and eternal life. Now, if the Bible says Jesus is the truth, if he is the way, the truth, and the life, that has some significance, doesn't it? Now, I didn't say, I didn't say the true church, okay? True church is the church of Jesus. Yes, I understand that. But what defines us is what we believe about Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Unity comes by believing who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He was eternally. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. Jesus. He always existed. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus lived on this earth 33 years and never sinned. Jesus went to the cross and was sacrificed for our sins. Jesus laid in the grave 3 days, and after 3 days, he rose again. After 40 days, he went up into heaven. And then he told us he's coming back in like manner, and we're waiting his second coming. Those are the fundamental truths about who Jesus is. But here's the thing. If you're really going to take the belt of truth, it has to be more than intellectual. There are a lot of people that know these truths in their head. They know these truths. They have them in their head. They may believe them. But that's not necessarily going to give us the victory. It's when these truths become real in our hearts. When they become a reality. Like the day the battleship said, yeah, I'm changing my course. When it understood the lighthouse was there, it was strong. Notice Psalm 25, verse 5 says this. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Think about that. Lead me in your truth. Don't. A lot of times we run from the truth. A lot of times we don't want to hear the truth. A lot of times we're like, no, don't tell me that because I don't want to know. He says, no. Lead me in your truth. Teach me your truth. It's real to me. And here is where it comes down to in our lives. Unless you're convinced of the truth that the way to you have a better life is not to get more money, not to drink more, not to obtain more things, the way to get a better life is follow God with all your heart. That's when it becomes the belt of truth. That's when it becomes that piece of the armor that you're going to stand up and win the battle. Because I'm waiting for God all day long. I'm waiting for him. I'm looking to him. I'm pleading with him. I'm trusting with him. My identity is in him. Notice Psalm 51:6. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. And you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Now we know this psalm was when David confessed his sins. He had He had committed adultery and he had killed one of his soldiers. And for a year, he ignored the truth. A year, he ran from the truth until the prophet came to him and said, "You are that man." And he confessed. And he said, "Behold, you delight in truth in the what? Inward being in your heart." The truth has to be real. The truth has to reveal who you are. The truth has to sink down into the deep parts, the heart, the secret of the heart. Nobody knows your secret this morning. God knows it. God knows what's down in there. And he's taking your truth and he says, "Come clean." And in Psalm 86:11, he says this, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart." This is interesting. "Unite my heart to fear your name." And I think what he's trying to get at, and what I'm trying to get at with this belt of truth, is that our heart needs to be united with what the Bible says. Because we can nod our head and say, "Amen, I believe that," but what's in our heart? Are we following God? Are we thirsting for God like a deer pants after the rivers of water? Arming ourselves with the belt of truth is not just reciting a creed, though that's important. It's not just saying, "Yeah, I believe." It's uniting our heart with the truth of the gospel, where it changes our life radically. Through the truth of God, that gives us that way to take that belt, to arm ourselves. And God gives us the armor and arms ourselves that we're ready to take that stand as those 21 Sikhs stood against the 10,000 of the Afghans, and they dug in and they stood there. And that has to be our attitude. If the truth, as the truth, sinks into our heart, and it's not just the verse we recite in Sunday school or post a meme on Facebook. Unite my heart. The first step to have our heart united is to be saved, to be born again, to accept Jesus, to know Jesus, to give your life to Jesus. The Bible said, "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." See, we have to do it in his might, after his plan. His plan is Jesus. His plan is that you can't save yourselves. His plan is no matter what you do, you can't do enough works to be saved. The only way you can be saved is through the sacrifice, the blood of Jesus. He died so you can have eternal life. That's his plan. His plan is for you to recognize you're a sinner, recognize you can't save yourself, and to call upon the name of the Lord. That if we shall believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. That time, that moment that I took when I was 17, kneeling down in my bed after hearing the gospel and knowing the gospel, but I was here. I was exactly here. I believed it. I believed it. I was convinced of the truth. But I wasn't saved. I wasn't saved. Crazy story. I don't know if I want to tell this story. Crazy story. So I was listening to the radio. That's how I got saved. Listen to the radio. I was listening to the radio. And I was listening to all kinds of preachers. And I believed with my head. And my dad often would have friends over, and downstairs he had a full bar. Everything. He drank whiskey a lot. And that was my struggle with alcohol and marijuana. And one night, my dad was having a friend over, and I snuck down in his bar and started taking shots of whiskey. Two or three shots. I don't remember what. And I was feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty bad. Well, his friend came down. So I started having this theological discussion. My dad didn't know what to think. He was talking about Jesus, and they needed to be saved, and they needed to repent. I got all emotional. I remember I got all emotional. Of course, yeah, I was under the wrong influence. I got all emotional, and I took my dad's whiskey bottle and threw it and told him he had to stop drinking and had to I wasn't even saved. I didn't know Jesus. I believed. And that all that was going through my mind until, I don't know if it was a month later, that I put on the belt of truth, knelt down in my bed, and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to save my soul from eternal destruction. And he changed my life. The Bible calls it being born from above, born of God. And I put on the belt of truth. Basing my life in the truth of the gospel. That's where it starts. We have the belt of truth. But through the days and weeks and months and years, he wants us. He doesn't care if we believe the truth. He just doesn't want us to be that radical about it. But God wants us to unite our heart with the truth of God's word. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness this morning. We thank you for everything you've done in our lives. Thank you that we have the truth. Thank you that we can base our lives on something solid, something real, something that doesn't change. That we have you. Lord, forgive us so many times we've based our lives on feelings and emotions and lies. Lord, may we know your truth. May we know the gospel. Unite our heart to see a truth that we can take up this belt, put it on, and stand against the wiles of the devil. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As we